Other questions or comments before we get started? Yeah.
You were talking about how, like, staying in your calls, like, how you can be called to, like, a location, but you're also called to a pastor. So what if your pastor is, like, a missionary pastor, and you're supposed to hear all of their messages, so, like, how do you do that? Like, no,
well, that's a good question. You have to define your call. Right? You have to define your call. There's three basic types of calls. You're called to a person specifically. You may be called to a church, or you may be called to a geographic location. In any case, you'll be called under the proper pastor-teacher. Now, this is where a believer has to be led by God. If your pastor leaves on the... let's say this happened to our church when Pastor Stevens left Massachusetts, came to Maryland, and left Maine and went to Massachusetts, right? This happened a few times. What was really your call? Well, part of what you want to define is also, what is that pastor's call? Right? If the pastor is a missionary pastor, and you're called to that specific person, then you're going to be going with him. If you're called to the church, then God has to bring in another pastor that you then recognize in your own heart that he is now your pastor. Now, you have to be careful in this because it's also by the mouth of one shepherd. So you have to clearly define your call before God. Like when the ministry moved down from Massachusetts, 1,000 people moved down because they felt called to that specific pastor, and where he was going, they were going. And there's also the call to a location, a geographic location, but then you had better make sure. See, I think this is the one that really gets people. They move around. Let's put it plainly. People don't get what a calling means. Okay, they put other things on par with the will of God, and they're not. Okay, nothing is on par with the will of God. Okay, nothing. People will, I'll be very frank and plain with this. People will say, okay, I have a job offer, and I'm going to take it because I can make $50,000 a year more. And that's how they decide what location they're going to go to. Well, you know what? That's dead wrong before God. You move because God says you move. Okay? You go, if you're called to a place, it doesn't matter. What are you serving, God or the money? Well, quite frankly, in today's culture, a lot of Christians are serving money. Because they don't understand calling. Young people with schools do this too. You get a young person who's called under a pastor or to a specific church or to a specific place, and you know they're going through high school and they're doing beautifully in their call. And then all of a sudden, okay, time for college. And they start picking and choosing like, oh, God is completely left out of the picture. What makes sense to them? What school offers what program? And they completely go away from their calling in the name of school. Well, that's stupid. Right? That's a complete void of understanding calling. Complete void of understanding covering and God's will. You don't go just because something's convenient. You go because God's called you to it. I'd be terrified. I mean, I was shooting for 10 years for medical school, and I had offers from schools. I just had to leave my call to go there. Well, no stinking way. Thank you. I leave my call, I leave my provision. My call is the place where God takes care of me. There's no way. No, you don't. That's not how you make decisions. It's not how you make decisions. I think those two things really get people. Jobs and school. Older folk who are looking for a career, their jobs. Because today in America, like, people move from place to place for their job, right? But they don't, you know, and also they'll move from place to place for their school, but they don't consider their call. Well, it's a non-existent life with God, is what that is. Right? It's just a non-existent life with God. Now, if you are called, you are called, and God provides for you in your calling. And even if there's, let's say, a financial crunch, and you can get another job if you leave your call, that'll solve your problems. Well, you think it'll solve your problems. The host of problems that you're going to pile on yourself is a whole different ballgame. And you may not even recognize the problem. You see, the enemy is just as capable of blessing you as God is. Okay? This is one of the things about spiritual warfare that people just don't get. It is very possible for the enemy to bring a problem, to get you out of your call, so that he can bless you out of your call and make it look like the problem has been resolved. But actually, the problem has come on. There was no problem. There was no problem as long as you stayed put in your call, because God will supply all my needs. So you left the will of God, you left the call of God, you get spiritually dull, you fall asleep, and essentially in a practical way, you spiritually die. Now, certainly not before God. You're saved, you're saved. But in the practical outworking, in your details of your life, in your everyday experience, you're dead. I know a man who did that, who said he was going to go prepare for the mission field by leaving the church he was called to make money in a different city. What a deception. He doesn't even believe in God anymore. He was a pastor. And he doesn't even believe in God anymore. Why? Because he left his covering. He left his provision. The calling of God is everything. It's your life. It's everything. Okay? People treat it so casually because they walk in spiritual darkness in a practical sense. As born-again believers, they don't walk in the light. The calling is absolutely everything. You don't mess with the calling. The calling is first. It has first place. Nothing comes before that in my practical decisions. How does this affect my call? That's it. If I can, for example, let's say that I'm a young person and I want to be a doctor. Okay? And I prayed about it and I want to be a doctor, but I also know that I'm called to a specific geographical place or a specific church. I think specific church is a more practical way to look at it. Let's say I'm called to a specific church or a specific pastor and I want to be a doctor. And I live, let's say, in this area or in Baltimore, which was my situation, right? Very simple. There's 15 medical schools within driving distance. God, if you want me in a medical school, you're going to have to put me in one of those 15. If you don't put me in one of those 15, I'm not going to leave my call for a temporal provision. There's plenty of provisions here. This is what you want. So I don't trade one thing against another. I stay in my call. And then if God wants to bless me with something else within my call, fine. If not, fine. I stay in my call. That's how it works. Leave the call, you leave the place where God is working with you, where He's living with you, where He's ministering to you, where you're growing. I'm not saying that God will ignore you and leave you. He'll never leave you. But you will leave the place of your provision. God has no plan B. Right? God has no plan B. Now certainly He can restore people if they make mistakes. That's not saying that He cannot. He certainly can. But the loss that they suffer in the process of having left that which they were called to is an eternal loss. See, when you mess with your calling, you're messing with eternity. Not with your salvation, but with your rewards. With your opportunities to glorify God, with your opportunities to grow. And then when you stand at the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, you suffer loss of rewards. That whole call thing is something that believers, generally speaking, believers don't get at all. And it's perhaps second to salvation, the most important thing in your life. It's everything. The call is everything. It's God's perfect will for a person's life. It's everything. If you want to, He'll let you leave your call. That's His permissive will. And because He knows the beginning from the end, and He has established the plan from the foundation of the world, He has arranged a plan around my mistakes. But I would have been much better off had I never made those mistakes. Right? This is why restoration can come, because God has arranged a plan around my mistakes. But how much better would it have been? How much more growth? How much more opportunity? You know, really, in the end, also, how much more at the judgment seat of Christ if I had never made those mistakes, if I had never left a call? And by mistakes, I don't mean like isolated incidents. Everybody has isolated incidents. We're human beings. By mistakes, I mean like major mistakes, like walking out of my calling. Also, don't forget the warfare. The calling is the provision for warfare. Spiritual warfare. I mean, folks, spiritual warfare is real and alive, and it's here. Well, you walk out of your calling, you lost your protection in the spiritual warfare. You've lost the covering. And then you're really just kind of sitting out there. You know what it reminds me of? It's like those World War II soldiers, like at Okinawa and places like that, where they had really depended on the foxholes that they dug. It reminds me of being at a place like Okinawa in the middle of the battle and just crawling out of your foxhole and standing up straight. Straight and proud. Because it's really pride that takes me out of the call. But as soon as you stand up straight and proud out of that foxhole in the middle of the warfare, the foxhole, you're covering your call. You're dead. You become a casualty. That's what happened to my friend. He got out from under his covering. Even though he was a pastor, even though he had already established a very fruitful missionary church, even though these things were the case, he still needed the covering of the calling. And when he left the covering, he became a complete casualty. And it was all for good reasons. And he could even mix a little religion in it, just to appease the conscience. Watch out for that. People will always do that. They'll walk out of their call by mixing religion to appease the conscience. So it sounds good to them. No, you stay put in your calling. And if you don't know your calling, then you get on your face before God and ask Him to reveal your calling to you. And He is faithful to show you what that calling is. And He may not show you the whole plan. Usually He doesn't. He'll show you the pieces that you need at the time that you need them. So He'll say, for example, okay, find yourself a church. No, this isn't it. No, this isn't it. If you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, it won't be very long. Or if not even sensitive, because a lot of people in this position don't know how to be sensitive to the Spirit. If you're available to the Holy Spirit, then it won't be very long before He shows you the place that's your home, spiritually speaking. And He leads you to a pastor that's your pastor. And this is the place you grow. Now, if you're called to a pastor, that's a little bit of a different type of a calling. It's like Luke and Paul. Right? Or ultimately John, Mark, and Peter. If you're called to a pastor, then where that pastor goes, you go. Because you're added to together. Right? You're added as a team to work together. Like Paul was not an isolated individual. There were certain people always around him. There weren't a lot. But there were certain ones. But then again, you know, what was a church in Rome, for example? The church in Rome is a church in somebody's house. You know? So it's not like there were a lot to have available to begin with. But if you're called to a pastor, if that's the calling, and again, this is something that each person has to decide before God for themselves. If you are called to a pastor, then if that pastor goes somewhere, you're going with him. Okay, and that's what Paul said. Well, Paul is talking about that to the churches, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, be followers of me. Right? We are to follow the pastor's faith. Hebrews 13, he's our covering and he gives an answer for us. He gives account and he watches for our souls. You see, there's a very independent mind in today's church where it's the Bible and the Spirit and I. Well, yes, it is the Bible and the Spirit and you, but don't be a sucker in the warfare. Okay? Let's take the Bible in its full counsel. Let's not just take the bits that we like out of the Bible, picking and choosing and kind of ignoring the rest. And usually when people do that, they take it out of context anyway. So pick and choose and ignore the rest. And, you know, they define for themselves their own walk with God as opposed to walking with God according to Spirit and truth. You can't do that. That's self-deception through a religious mindset is what that is. Again, mixing a little bit of religion in it just to appease my conscience. It's nonsense. It's crazy. It's stupid. You know what it is? It's walking, it's being a child, spiritually speaking. It's childish. It's childishness. Because that kind of a person has need of growth because they have not matured in the Spirit of God. And so it's just childish. If I don't know who my pastor is, if I don't know where I'm called, then I ask God to show me and He's faithful to do it. Like, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask for the Spirit of the Spirit who gives to all men liberally. So if a person doesn't have their call defined, then they need to ask God to define it for them. However, once that call is defined, you don't mess with it. It reminds me of Balaam, right? Can I curse Israel? No. Can I curse Israel? No. Can I curse Israel? Okay, go ahead. Curse Israel. See what happens. And you wind up talking to a donkey. And you don't see the angel. What did the angel say to Balaam, by the way? If you crossed, I would have killed you. That's what the angel said to Balaam. And Balaam was the prophet. Balaam was a believer. But he said, if you continued, I would have killed you. Thank God he wanted thank God for that donkey. believers, they think they're too big and their God is too small. But it's like John said, I have to decrease so he must increase. Believers have a very, very big self and a very small God, many of them. I need to have a very big God and completely dead to self. Because that's where I find life. Right? Define your call and stay in it. And if it's a call to a place, then God will also give you a provision of a church and a pastor. You don't go to a place, by the way, apart from knowing what that provision is. If somebody says to me, well, I'm going to go to Ohio, but I don't know where, I'll get my job there, and I don't, you know, I'll just find myself a church. You know what? I'm going to say, if one of you says this to me, and I'm going to ask you, what church are you called to there? And if you say, I don't know, then I'm going to say you're a liar. And I don't care if you like it or not. Because you're doing things apart from God's order. I don't go to a place and then say, I'll just find one. No, I find one before I get there or I'm not called there. And it better be God's choice. It better be God's choice. It better not be just because it suits my personality. It better be God's choice. And if it's not God's choice, then you're not in the will of God. Period. Simple as that. If you're called to a church, you don't leave it. I don't care what comes up, you don't leave it. If you're called to a pastor, if that's your call, then you stay with that pastor. I don't care what comes up, you stay with that pastor. That's your call. Because there's, you know, you have those three types of callings. People really need to kind of make things very clear in their own minds before God, from God, what it is that they're called to. Many of you have told me what your call is. And not to scare you, but if you try to walk out of that, I'm going to come and talk to you about it. Why? Because I'm accountable before God. And as the pastor, I have to do that. Like Ezekiel 33, if the watchman does not blow the trumpet, then the blood is on the watchman's hands. Right? So if you've told me, and some of you have, that you're called to me, or if you told me that you're called to greater grace, and you try to leave one of those, whatever, according to as you've told me that God has shown you, then I'm going to come and challenge you about it if you do try. And if you decide to do it anyway, well, you're a believer priest, you stand or fall before God, but I'm telling you one thing, don't walk out of your call, whatever it happens to be. Don't walk out of your call. Anyway, that's just a thought before we get started.